Welcome back, everybody. Got ourselves another episode of the Banana Slam Jaren podcast, where me and my boy Jaren be slamming some bananas. So this week, no guest. I was pretty busy all last week, so I have no excuse other than I chose to do other things than find a guest, monkeys. So that how do you feel about that?
You know, it happens. We all have those weeks. I, for one, took, like, this entire week off because I streamed every day for a month and a half, and then I just started getting mad at Dota, so.
Yeah, I'm kind of right there, too. I think I don't know. I don't know if I need to take a break.
I mean, I'm probably going to start streaming again tonight, I think. Either tonight or tomorrow. I haven't decided yet, but.
If you don't stream tonight, your viewers will call you a liar, my friend.
Well, I mean, they do that anyways, so.
Okay. Fair enough, fair enough. Okay, guys, so before we get into the actual podcast itself, we are here to drumroll special event for the podcast. So what we have going on is that on the 29th, we have a little partnership with Prediction and such that will be doing a live AMA where you guys are actually interacting with us during the podcast. There are tickets on sale if you guys want to be a part of it. There's only 100 spots if people care. Exclamation point podcast event in chat. I'm just going to quickly show it on screen here. If you guys do exclamation point podcast event and go to prediction.com, you can buy one of the tickets here. Ignore the light mode. There's going to be a cool little NFT that goes with it. It absolutely, you know, you could just toss it if you don't like it, or you could keep it forever and cherish it. It's up to you. It's mainly just for the tickets. But there will be some perks, I guess, from the NFT in future. But yes, it'll be on the 29th at 5 p.m. if you guys want to be a part of it. If not, all good. It will still be streamed. So if that does not interest you... Got to show monkeys here. Oh, I moved the prediction. This is failure now. Okay. If you... Oh, my gosh. Dude. There we go. First try. So if you guys want to be a part of that, make sure you check it out. I'll be mentioning it on stream a decent amount between now and the 29th, which is 12 days. So it'll just be a little special episode of the podcast. A little something, something. But my man Monkeys.
That's me.
I had a pretty fun week, dude. So if you guys are new to the podcast, we talk a little bit about Dota. We talk a little bit about life. Yeah, we talk like 20% Dota, 80% life. It's more so meant to be a podcast about, you know, the fact that Dota people can have lives. And then we also end up talking about Dota anyways, because that's the way Dota people work. You know, we just inevitably the conversation will go back to Dota. So... I'll start talking about my week because it was a really fun week. So what happened was the Liquid team showed up. I can't disclose all of it, I don't think, but Zai showed up, so he's here. Insania also said on Twitter that he was showing up too. So Blitz has been here, Jabs the coach is here. So they also had Asa Butterfield. Do you know who that is, monkeys?
I do.
Okay, so we had Asa Butterfield here. That was pretty cool. He's the main actor in Sex Education, the show, if you guys haven't seen it. He's a part of Liquid. Like, he just does random content for them and stuff and represents them. Yeah, he's actually, like, signed with Liquid as, like, a representative or... Yeah, I don't know exactly. You know what I mean? ambassador, maybe. Mm-hmm. So we did a really fun content piece that you guys will be seeing. Me, Asa, and Aiden. It was recorded on Saturday. I don't want to say what it was because it'll literally ruin the surprise. But it was a lot of fun, so we did that. We had like a really fun time hanging out throughout the course of the week. We all went to the gym together. I'm getting really swole, monkeys. I'm just letting you know. Like, we talked about it, that when we saw each other back in like July or whatever, that, you know, we both had to whip ourselves into shape. I'm doing my part. It's up to you. You know, I don't know if...
I was doing really well until I have had my whatever problems. Apparently, it's not, like, conclusively a hernia. because I got my ultrasound done, but I don't know. We'll see what the cause.
What are the other options?
I don't know. I haven't officially talked to my doctor yet. I only talked to like the nurse or whoever was doing the ultrasound itself.
Ah, I see. Okay. So, you know, I'm trying to talk about a fun week, and Monkey's just here talking about his fucking hernia, so, you know.
You brought up working out. You can't call me out like that when I'm injured, man.
Hey, man, I figured by now, you know, your body had like, gotten over it, you know?
What? That's not how things work, BSJ.
I feel like if I had that hernia for like a month, I'd be over it by now. Like I'd be really have gotten old, you know, just get better.
Just do better.
But so last week was weird because we were doing stuff every day. We had like, okay, so we had the chefs at the Liquid facility are also like caterers. So on Wednesday we had a like 4-course meal prepared for us at the Liquid facility by the chefs. So that was pretty cool. That was really nice. That was like the welcome back Liquid players and BSJ. So, so that was a lot of fun. But it was a weird week because pretty much every day, other than like two or three, I had something going on. So I just didn't really stream all that much. I was on a hot streak before then, and now I suck. So that's life. I think, you know, on Saturday I have the excuse that I was hungover from Friday. I can definitely make that excuse, but the rest of the days, I don't got an excuse, Monkeys. So how's the MMR doing? Did you say you took a week off of streaming? Did you also take a week off of Dota?
I played a couple of the nights. I probably ended up playing like 10 games off stream or something. Went like 6-4. So it was like,
yeah,
acceptable.
I feel like I should play off stream and then I think money.
I mean, it's like, I don't know. I just do it sometimes just to like make sure I still enjoy the game for the game rather than like
every time I've done it, I've enjoyed it, man. Like,
yeah, I mean, me as well, but I don't know. I kind of enjoy playing off stream now and then just to like remind myself that it's just 10 players in the game and everything and just, you know, more focus on Dota stuff rather than stream stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely a constant battle I've been having for my entire career, choosing to stream or not my games, knowing that I'll probably play better and also enjoy the game for just the game. Obviously, yeah. Streaming has its perks, right? But it takes a toll. I think for me, it makes me really upset when I'm doing something like unorthodox and the entire focus of like the chat and channel is just like flaming or whatever, whatever I'm doing, you know? I feel like it definitely pigeonholes you into like the meta, you know? Like you can't really try new shit. I think over the years I lost my willingness to try new shit. So trying to get that back. But
unless you're me and just first pick Brewmaster instead of over a 60% win rate.
Can I actually fuck you, by the way? Can I actually talk to you about the fact that I've lost like 5 to 10 games in a row to a Broodmother? Like,
wait, pretty Broodmother or
Broodmother? Broodmother, because this is another one of your heroes.
Yeah.
And I would like to say, I don't know, you do this. It seems like something you would probably do. I laned against the guy mid. I need to know if there's a counter to this. I laned against him mid. I'm actually going to show you this. You're going to see it on your thing. I need to show you this. This is literally going to be the first time we've pulled up a replay on the podcast. Okay, Monkeys? I need you to see this shit. Tell me if you've done this. I need to know. I don't know if it only works with Brood, because I've seen people do it with techies a little bit when it comes to mines.
Stacking your spiderlings into one unit hitbox?
No, he's watch this fucking lane, dude. Where's the fucking bag? Okay, fast forward here. Let's get to this. I need you to see this. You see my screen, right, Monkeys?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Where is it here? So, like, I'm gonna try to CS this range creep, I think it is. Yes, look what this guy fucking does.
Oh, does he just put his body on top of it so you can't right-click him?
I literally can't right-click the fucking creep. I just right-click him. He did this consistently. I actually didn't know how to deal with it. Is this, yeah, like, Broodmother's hitbox being fucking massive or something? Like,
well, it's because her hitbox is bigger and she has no collision, so she can...
Oh, she has no collision, so she specifically can do this shit.
Yeah,
he does it again here. Well, let me see. Where does he do it again? Man, it was fucking annoying. Yeah, he just does it every time. He just puts his hero on top of the fucking creep.
Yeah,
I literally had to burrow strike this range creep. Look at this. I had to burrow strike the range creep because I can't click it, dude. Like, what the fuck? I've never seen this before. Look at this.
I mean, that's definitely clever for mid. You can't really do that in the offlane because you take way too much damage from two heroes hitting you.
Like, look at this shit. I had to burrow strike a range creep, dude.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that it definitely...
That's a cool trick.
It was frustrating. I figured if you didn't do it, you would find it interesting, at the very least. So, that was my ventilation for today. This guy, I think he's smurfing, because he's like bronze tier brood, rank 400, and he's doing shit like that. So,
I'm
pretty sure that's a smurf.
What item build does the brood go that you lose to?
Orb of Corrosion, Treads, Orchid, BKB is what he's been doing.
All right. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, it's very annoying.
I want Brood to work again. I just, like, I don't know. My style of playing Brood is completely dead, and I don't really feel like teaching myself a new way to play.
That is really annoying, I imagine, because I was talking about this earlier. Like, okay, this is actually a great segue. This is in my notes. I'm really glad you brought it up conveniently. So I'll ask you. So I mentioned earlier that, like, Slark used to get played a specific way, and I feel like for a while I always was in denial. Anytime I thought Slark might be decent, I would always say, nah, this hero's kind of shit. And it was like because I would try it and I would try to play him like the old Slark, you know, and I would lose. And I was just like, I feel like when you're playing a hero a bajillion times and then they get, like, conceptually remade, you know, an example, Ursa. You know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, he was like a lane-dominating carry. And now he's like kind of weak in lane, but then he comes online really hard in like the mid-game. So I have to imagine Broodmother might have to be like the most annoying hero to like remain relevant, right? Like, isn't that the literal worst? How many times have they reworked her?
So many times. Like so many times. like four, maybe five.
Yeah, and they're all pretty drastic, right? Like,
yeah, there is an iteration of her that your webs gave you invisibility, but
I remember
if you
this.
Took damage, then you lost your no collision and move speed and invisibility in the webs. So, like, you had to completely make sure your hero wasn't taking any damage.
And your spiders lost it too, right? Your spiders were invis and took,
And Brood was actually kind of considered a TA counter because if TA would not one-shot all of the spiderlings, they would all lose collision and just surround TA. So there would just be like a giant circle around it, and then she can't one shot Psyblade the spiderlings anymore. There's that iteration, and you know, I'm not gonna name every single Brood iteration there's been, but that was like the iteration that I started Brood on. So there's been a lot since then.
Yeah, somebody's asking, so like, what made you choose Broodmother monkeys? What made you why is she one of your main
story
heroes?
Actually, because Team Archon, the team that I qualified for the Shanghai Major with, they basically wanted to try me out as their mid player because they were gonna kick Suzy Ryoya, and so Fluff and Stuff and Moo, you know, they were kind of like the drafters on Archon, and like they made the majority of the decisions, and we were playing the open qualifiers for one of the majors because they made a player swap outside of the roster locks or whatever, so we had to go through opens, and we were just playing open qualifiers, and Fluff asked, he's like, hey monkeys, do you play Broodmother? And Moo just instantly responds, oh yeah, monkeys is a great brood, you can just like pick him brood whenever, he'll just solo carry the game. And I was like, I am. I play Brood.
Had you ever actually played Brood?
I mean, I had maybe like 30 games on the hero or something in pubs, and like I guess I had a kind of decent win rate, but I was in no way like confident on the hero. I would like would just sometimes play her as like a test.
So you had to make sure Moo didn't look like a dumbass and like spam the shit out of it.
Well, and then throughout the entire open qualifier, Fluff just is first picking me Brood, like, every game. He's like, you know, a Brood sounds really good right now. And I'm like, all right, I guess you can pick me Brood. So I literally played Brood until, like, the top four. And then we lost to, like, some South American team because that was when the Americas were combined into one region.
Yeah, I feel like I remember that story vaguely. And, I think you told it to me back at like VGJ or something like years ago.
Well, yeah. And then after that open qualifier, I was like, all right, I guess I'll learn the hero that my team thinks I'm really good at. So then I started spamming it in pubs. So it was like actually a decent brood. And then I qualified for a major with it. So
that's like when you're trying to impress a girl and you tell her you're like really good at something and you're like not actually good at it. And then like, you know, you end up dating her or something, like goes on longer than you expected. And you're like, shit, I guess I got to learn this shit, you know, got to take some lessons. I remember,
I didn't want to like make or say I couldn't play the hero that Moo seemed like confident I could play. So I was just like, I can do it. No worries. I got the micro down.
Yeah. That I remember seeing a Reddit post about some, or it was like a tweet. Some guy said like, hey guys, I told a girl I was really good at chess. She said she wants to play me later. You know, how do I do this? And somebody's, the reason why I was on Reddit is because the response was fucking genius. The guy said, have her play white, load up against a computer, and then do whatever the computer, like, have like make her moves against the computer as white and then do whatever the computer does.
That's genius, actually.
I was like, I'm fucking using that one at some point. It's that, yeah. I mean, that was impressive, right? That was like one of those like 90,000 upvote Reddit threads that you,
That's genuinely hilarious.
you got to give it props. That guy thought that through. He was a problem solver, you know.
For sure.
So, where were we, monkeys?
I just told you the story of how I learned Brood, or how I got into Brood, because you asked me.
Yeah, I feel like every, you know, people ask about your screen name. People ask about, like, how do you pick these heroes. You know, it all has a story. And it's really funny because you look at my game history and you see 300 or something Huskar games. A lot of Huskar games. And pretty much all of them are like 3 years ago plus. I'm pretty sure my last 20 Huskar games, I've been across like 3 years, 4 years, and they're all almost all losses. Because I never really learned the hero. Because he's similar to Brood, right? Where he's been conceptually reworked like...
A lot.
A lot. I remember when I just started playing Huskar was when your passive gave, I think, damage too. It was like a shit ton of attack speed. The strategy was to just rush Morbid. Like, you'd go no fucking items. You'd go, like, stats.
Oh, yeah, and then you get, like, a Satanic or something.
Yeah, you rushed Helm of the Dominator. I don't remember if it built into Satanic. But yeah. I think it did build into Satanic. But you rushed Helm of the Dominator, and you just went 0-0-4 with stats. And, like, I remember back when I was, like, super noob that if you got off to a decent start, you'd just be laning versus, like, three people and kill them all. So that was always really fun to me. I thought that was really cool. And then they reworked Huskar to be the magic-resistant Huskar. If nobody remembers... Yeah, so not many people remember this stage, but there was, like, a year and a half where when they made Huskar that way... That he had 99.99% magic resistance at less than like 5% HP or something. I remember testing it in a demo. You could have What the Fuck mode on, Dagon 5 E-Blade, Skywrath Mage ulti being spammed, and if Huskar used his Q, you would not kill him.
I remember being so nutty.
It was literally impossible to kill Huskar with magic damage. And at the time, like, that time was when I was on, I just started playing competitive, was towards the end of this period. And I swear, it was like similar to the situation with Troll Warlord, where they buffed him like 10 times or whatever. And just I feel like every hero by now's kind of hit that period where, do you know what I mean? Where before these patches, these heroes were literally never played in, like, all of Dota 2. You know, the hero just was ignored. Like, nobody in competitive had ever picked Huskar or Troll Warlord or anything like that. And so, like, when Troll got buffed, I knew he was broken because I played Troll. He's one of my favorite heroes. He was the reason I made top 10 in NA at the time when MMR came out, because I just spammed Troll Warlord and nobody picked him. And then Huskar, too. I got, like, I was 7-for-7 in competitive Dota, like, my first 7 games playing Huskar, when I was on Summer's Rift. And I was trying to tell Arteezy and shit. Dude, I was trying to tell Arteezy, man, when we were at the LAN. I'm like, dude, this hero's broken, dude. And nobody picked it. And then, right before TI, they nerfed it. I was like, nobody's even picking this fucking hero. And they nerfed it to 86%, and I was like, or it's like it's the same hero, but at max resistance he's at 86% rather than 99.999%. So you would actually die to shit. But then all of a sudden people were picking Huskar, and I was just so confused. I was like, he literally got like banned every single game or something that patch. You know, I really don't know where I was going with this. But there have been so many iterations of Huskar, and what I'm getting at here is I've played like 300 games of him plus, and I fucking suck at that hero now. I'm pretty good at armlet toggling because of the hero. Just cut me off if I'm being obnoxious, monkeys. So there was a period of time where Huskar could, or any hero that had an orb, could attack with Ghost Scepter on. Do you remember that?
I vaguely remember that.
So, like, OD, Viper, Huskar, Drow. They could all attack if they had Ghost Scepter on. So there was a brief period where that was in the game, and Huskar... Yes. And Huskar had 99.9% magic resistance.
Yeah.
Okay? So my build was Tranquil Boots, because they were back when they had an active... Tranquil Boots, Armlet, Ghost Scepter, Dagon 5. Okay, that was my build. And I would straight up be a, you know, 5% HP Huskar with Ghost Scepter on, who during the Ghost Scepter is literally unkillable. Like, you cannot kill me Because they're like, you know, unless you dispel the ghost scepter, but, you know, back then people are like 2K MMR. They're not fucking dispelling my ghost scepter.
No one buys the fusel, which is just the most
brutal. Nobody ever purged it or whatever. And I would just be attacking with like 600 attack speed at 5% HP. And then I would just ult them and dig on them. That was just the... It was the funniest shit. And I swear, I look at these games and I'm like, I probably had like a 70% win rate doing that shit, okay? I had like, it was massively high win rate. And I just think to myself, I look back, like, I was a sick fuck. But at the same time, I played 100 games at least doing this, and I didn't get any better. I didn't learn anything about Dota. Yeah. I also had my period where I played Jungle Doom with Midas Rush. And if we lost, it was always my team not making enough space for me. That was always the reason.
I have over 900 games on Pudge, and I certainly did not learn like a single thing about Dota in any of those games. I mean, like, it's crazy when you bring up like old heroes that you used to play or whatever, because like you had a mid player stint as well, and now like you have had an offlane stint that you're like you still kind of dabble in offlane, yeah. And you know you're obviously mainly a carry, but. Like, I had 4 years I was a mid player. I have over 1,000 games on Storm with, like, a 65% win rate. And, like, I was, like, so good at Storm back in the day. But, you know, now I mean, like, I can still play the hero and, you know, kind of still understand it. Because Storm as, like, a hero hasn't really changed too much since I was playing it 4 years ago, right? Just when I was playing, Bloodstone had a suicide active, so you never fed your kill streaks and... You know, that film.
Oh, yes, the suicide Bloodstone.
I loved playing Storm when Bloodstone did that because it would be off cooldown. I'd be like, what's the worst that can happen? You know, I'm not going to beat any gold.
And then you think about the time where that overlapped with the respawn talents and you had Lina's mid going rushing Bloodstone, and then if they got caught out, they just kill themselves with the Bloodstone and their respawn would be like 15 seconds.
Yep, those were the days. Big fan of Storm in those days. And Zip was like less percentage mana as well, so you could literally zip from like your fountain to Lair Fountain reliably with like three or four items.
There's been some funny moments in the history of Dota 2.
Yeah.
Remember when shrapnel did damage to towers?
I do remember that. That was so obnoxious. That was when Sniper was like actually good, right?
No, sadly he was actually bad before. Or maybe he was good, but nobody picked him. And then what happened was they reworked that Sniper. Because that was back when he just had one charge of shrapnel. It was like 12-second cooldown or something. And it killed buildings. And then they reworked him to be the 3-charge shrapnel, and that was 6.83 sniper was when they reworked him to have. And the shrapnel had no delay on the shrapnel, so you could just, like, the second somebody stepped out of position, you'd just shrapnel them, and they would just get caught in, like, the full duration of the shrapnel.
Yeah.
So, and you had 3 charges. I remember pretty much every sniper at level 3 would solo kill the enemy mid with 3 shrapnel charges.
Nutty.
Yeah, that patch, when you see troll sniper getting first rounded, like first pick troll, second pick sniper, you know there's a serious issue with the balance of the game.
Yeah, so Dota's definitely come a long way over the last 5 years or so.
I was watching my own video, by the way. This happened like 2 weeks ago. I was watching my old Slark guide. I don't really know why. I don't really know why I watched it. Go ahead. Were you going to say something?
How old was the Slark guide?
This is like the year I started streaming. So like 6-7 years ago.
All right.
So I was watching my own Slark guide and I was like tabbing through it a little bit. And I was talking about how Slark was like a good pick against Brood. And I was using a competitive game against Bulba. And I was like solo laning against the Brood. And I'm just like being instructional, talking about my items, talking about Slark being good against Brood. And I'm just watching this game. Like I'm watching it now. And I'm like, what am I talking about? I'm getting fucking dumpstered. I'm like, I'm getting dumpstered in the lane. And I think I said I'm getting trashed is what I said. I'm like, what do you mean? I said this lane is trash is like what I said. And then I shit you not, like 15 seconds later, after all my stupid shit that I was saying, I said, let's check and see the net worths. Oh, man, this lane is trash. Like, I checked the net worth, and I was losing by, like, 1,400 gold 1v1 against Broodmother at, like, 5 minutes into the game or something. And I was just laughing because six-year-old me said the exact same phrase, but just, like, didn't realize how bad it was. Oh, man. It was so funny.
I truly wish that I like had just gotten into YouTube for like the 8 years of my streaming career, because there's just
for the sake of having some VODs.
Yeah, like there's just been some funny moments in the history of, you know, me just fucking around with friends and playing Dota, and you know, I feel like it would be fun to be able to like go back and see some of that, but you know, Twitch has cleared. So all of the old VODs, like,
yeah, it's like anything over a few months or something, or like a few years, I guess, is 100% gone. And like, even if you saved it, it's gone. I had, dude, there was that one clip I had of Jube in the background when we were at the Team Freedom house. You remember this, right? Jube just in the back saying, "Shut the fuck up, Dubu. Shut the fuck up, Dubu. Shut the fuck up, Dubu. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up, Dubu."
I do remember that.
Oh my god, I had a command for it for the longest time that was like F, you know, STFU Dubu or something.
Yeah.
And it took like 4 or 5 years for Twitch to like finally delete the clip, but I was really sad one day when I just found the clip was just gone. Yeah. I'll never forget it, man. I'll never forget it.
Those were good times. Those were simpler times.
They were simpler times, monkeys.
Back when NA actually had a player base.
True that, my friend.
I think Moonmeander was saying in a Discord that we're both in or something that like NA pubs used to be like there used to be one NA pub for every like 7 EU pubs or something, or like high MMR games or something like that. But now it's like there's one NA pub for every like 14 EU games. So we're just like, we're losing our player base like so fucking hard.
It really is sad, I'm not gonna lie. It's really sad.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew I kind of had to jump ship, sadly.
You did kind of just bail on out of here.
I mean, it's not like I was, like, eager, but when I got the offer, I'm like, yes.
I mean, it's also Liquid, like, I don't know. Liquid,
no, I know. I mean, of course, I'm very, like, the offer itself was awesome. It's just, like,
yeah.
I mean, the thing for me in NA is it just felt like the region as a whole. Yeah, the region as a whole just felt like, it just felt like every game was the same people. If you had, like, one bad player on your team where you got in an argument with them, you would be in the next 6 games with them. And to me, that's, like...
Yeah, pretty true. I will say I like it when Arteezy streams, because you snipe one Arteezy game and you usually consistently are, like, dragging, like, a solid group of high MMR players along, and you don't... I mean, like, obviously sometimes it gets broken up or whatever, you miss the queue because more than 10 players or whatever of high MMR are going to be queuing at the same time. But
have you been sniping monkeys? Have you been sniping Arteezy?
I mean, this week I try to like start my stream as I'm queuing at the same time as them, and if I hit them, great. If not, oh well, and then just move on. But you know, I try to like start in the high MMR games to see how long I can stay in them, because you know, I climbed from like rank 140 to rank 30 in a month. But then I
just flex, bro.
Often join Dota, so I took a week off. But I'm eager to play again. I'm ready. I'm ready to get back into it. And I have to flex on you a little bit, BSJ. I mean,
yeah, my MMR is pretty shit right now. I was on such a nice streak, and a lot of these games, what I find is my issue now is honestly, I mean, I'm gonna look at my games. Actually, I need to think of what my issue is here. I feel like I don't even know, man. I'm not gonna comment.
That's I mean, it. Sometimes you just, I don't know. Sometimes it just takes a little to get back into the swing of Dota. Like, yeah, because I mean, it really is. When you're playing Dota, you have to like genuinely be thinking about so many different things simultaneously and like flawlessly. And that's not like a normal thing most people do in their everyday life when they're not playing Dota, I feel. So when you take like a week off of Dota, you know, you're probably only focused on a couple of things that are like in your immediate attention or whatever. And then you go back to Dota after a week and you're like, oh shit, I gotta do 11 things at once. I forgot.
It's very true. Very true. I feel like today specifically, my issue has been like, I'm just on such a different page from my teammates, and I don't really know why. Like today that happened. Like every game, I'm literally just like really confused on what my teammates are doing. And it's like, I'm not even sure who's right or wrong. It's literally just like, I think we're supposed to fight and nobody wants to fight. I think we're not supposed to fight and people are like running in as three. I'm like, I don't know if I need to communicate better. I feel like some days are worse than others. Because it's like, the last 3 or 4 days I lost MMR, and I didn't think I was playing very well. So, like, for me, it's like, okay, you know, not playing all that well, lost MMR. Today's, like, one of those days where I felt like I played pretty well, and every game was just really fucking hard, except for, like, one.
I know those days all too well.
That was today. So, I mean, I went 4-6. It wasn't, like, terrible, but just felt like every game was super hard.
Dude, BSJ, I had a day, it was one of my really long streams, but I was feeling really good, and I was shitting on my, like, every lane I played, I would be, like, 1.5, maybe more gold ahead of the carry, like, every single game. I was, like, winning lanes with Brewmaster, I was playing Furion, and I think I lost, like, 12 games or something just due to a teammate like giving up by 15 minutes because, you know, they didn't get their stacked camp or something, and they had a temper tantrum, and I'm just like, I swear I am just like doing so well right now, I'm just losing every game. And like those are the days that are the hardest to come back from. I think I ended up winning like eight games in the end. I literally played 20 games on stream. So I went like 8-12. So it wasn't the worst showing or whatever, but it was
just a lot of
like
games.
Yeah, I mean, I grinded pretty hard. I had a few 18-hour, 20-hour streams.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that, man. That's fucking psychotic to me. That's like straight up psychotic. For me, I feel like after 10 hours, I'm pretty dead. Usually, like I'm starting to lose brain function around 10 hours.
Yeah.
So to imagine going like another double of that.
I mean, I definitely only do it on the days that I'm like, I'm genuinely feeling good enough to do it. Like, if by 10 hours of Dota, I'm just like, I can't focus on the things I need to focus on, because I can literally tell immediately in a game if by like 5 minutes I am making the most basic mistakes that like I shouldn't be making and whatever, I'll just be like, all right, you gotta stop after this, Jerry. You're not doing the things that you need to do to win games. So, you know, that's kind of like my mentality. But if I hit like 12 hours and I'm still doing all of the small things correctly, I'm just like, why not? Just keep going. Like you're not failing too hard or anything.
Yeah, I'm still trying to deliberate to myself exactly when I'm supposed to stop.
Yeah.
That's like, because you want to put in the volume to make sure you're practicing heroes, to make sure you're, like, you know, keeping up. But then you also don't want to, like, play too much, because then, you start. It's like, even when I feel like I'm slightly aware that I'm playing potentially below, it's like, man, there's just so many factors. Do you wait 10 minutes? Do you wait 5 minutes? Do you stop? Do you wait an hour?
That's something I've actually been doing after, like, 6 to 8 hours of streaming. I just take my dogs for, like, a 10-minute walk and then come back.
And you just leave the stream in a pub or something?
Yeah.
I was doing that for a little while where I went to dinner at the facility where I'd just take a quick bike ride to the facility and then go pick up some dinner. It'd be, like, a 45-minute break.
Yeah.
I would just leave the stream on for, like, a pub. Maybe I should do that again. That was nice.
I definitely think it's healthy, at least for me. You know, just get outside like once or twice a day, and, you know, I just go for a little 10-minute walks and actually get some movement in.
I'm getting a lot of movement in, actually. Like, I'm getting outside a pretty good amount. It's just a matter of doing it during the stream itself.
Yeah, I mean, taking a quick break. Yeah, it resets you, I feel, like, emotionally, because you walk outside for a bit and you're like, oh, yeah. Not everything's about Dota.
Yeah, man, it's pretty crazy how engulfed you get. It's pretty nuts, to be honest. Yeah. Man, it's actually trippy how quickly it happens over like 3 or 4 days, I'd say. Where like you play a little bit too much Dota and you just feel like your entire life revolves around Dota. And then you just have, like, one day you don't play Dota, and you're like, oh, there is other parts to my life.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
I mean,
I was... Go ahead.
No, all you.
I was going to say, when I started working out, it felt like I was less invested in the success of my Dota games, because I felt like my self-worth was less determined by winning Dota games.
Yep.
So I think definitely having other things going on. You're saying you're going to work out? You work out because of that?
Yeah, that's a big reason why I work out. Just because, you know, it makes me feel better about myself, and I don't put all of my self-worth on my rank or MMR or whatever. Although, that's part of why I haven't looked at my MMR in over a year, because I don't want to, like, upset.
You haven't looked at your MMR in over a year?
Yeah.
Wow. Don't you want to, like, look at your stats page just to see your heroes, though?
No, I think it'll be kind of interesting if I, like, just wait to look at it for a long time and see how much it's changed. Because, you know, the last time I looked at it, the majority of my, like, high heroes played are, like, mid-heroes and like, some carry, like, Terror Blades in there, Storms in there, TAs in there.
Wait, really? Wow.
I think TA is up there. I was a mid player for 4 years, VSJ. I went to a major as a mid player.
So what's the plan? Are you never looking at your MMR again, or?
No, I mean, I wanna see it when it hits 10K, you know, because I know I'm gonna get 10K at some point.
Have you been 10K
soon.
Before?
No, I've never been 10K. My highest the last time, or like my highest when I was looking at my MMR, was like 9.4, I think. But I think I've surpassed that. I think I'm already past that. I don't know for sure, obviously, but I think I'm higher than that.
Okay. Respect. I don't know how you do it, man. You just spam a lot of the same heroes, and it's impressive. I watched your Brewmaster game. Somebody was mentioning it, the one where you were like 21 kills and 2 deaths and you lost.
Yeah.
You literally were like ulted 90% of the game, and you were just constantly microing your ult. And I was just like, how the fuck is he doing this? It's like 55 minutes into the game, and you've just been ulted for the last 20 minutes or some shit.
Because I love challenging myself, BSJ.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a lot of fucking units to control.
Brewmaster is my proof that if there was just 5 me's on a team, it would be
exactly no 4 of me. You know, there was that Reddit thread of like, you know, literally unplayable, and it's Brewmaster saying three of me, and he spawns the void. That was a nice meme. I appreciated that one.
Yeah, I mean, it is funny when you get your shard and you're just yelling three of me over and over, and just four of me pop up. And you're like, ha-ha, I've got you now.
Hustled, idiot.
But yeah,
I feel like I was like critiquing my own teamfight play, and I was like, I'm realizing that the reason I think I'm bad at teamfighting is, first off, in NA, there's not too many teamfights, but also as like a carry, you don't get as much teamfight practice as offlaners do. Like, I think when I played offlane, I was a better teamfighter. And then I also realized I'm kind of just picking random heroes rather than, like, picking heroes I'm really good at. And I played Slark the other day, and I'm like, damn, my teamfighting on Slark's pretty good.
Yeah.
Turns out if you just play a hero a lot of times, you kind of just know what to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of my approach to learning Dota, because, like, I mean, you know, I have been called, like, a two-hero spammer for my entire career of Dota, which is, like, 10 years now or something, in Dota 2, at least. And it's, like, people have literally named, like, 20 different heroes that I spam over the years.
That you are the two-hero spammer?
Yeah, those are, like, the only heroes that I can play, and I'm, like, I feel like
every patch you are, though. I feel like you are every patch you're a two-hero spammer. Is that wrong?
I mean, I don't know. I eventually switched things up. Like, before I started spamming Brew, I was spamming Dazzle a lot offlane. I was just first picking.
How did that go?
I had, like, a little over a 50% win rate. It was, like, it was fine. It definitely wasn't, like, good, but it was fine. I could make it work. But then I got bored of Dazzle because, like, it wasn't easy wins. So then I started messing around with Brewmaster. And after, like, 20 games on Brew, I was like, oh, I feel like I can reliably be really obnoxious with this. So and then I just started spamming Brewmaster.
Yeah, it's interesting. You do that pretty much every patch. I've noticed it over the course of the time I've known you. You pick, like, two or three heroes, and I look at your game history, and, like, 90% of them every patch are those two or three heroes. I mean, it's different heroes, so it's not like saying you're limited. You seem to like to perfect a specific craft.
Well, that's kind of how I view it for, like, competitive Dota, because, I mean, not to even say I'm, like, super hard going to be trying to compete. I don't know. Maybe I will again at some point, but I feel like for competitive Dota, like, it's really useful to just be really good at the heroes that you pick, right? So, like, I've just tried to make that list of heroes as extensive as possible. So, you know, because a lot of people, they will just, like, first phase ban Batrider against me, or, like, pretty much every competitive team I've ever played against has first ban Batrider against me no matter the patch. So it's like, I want my other heroes to kind of, like, be close to that level, right? Because then people actually have to, you know, think about what they want to ban.
Yeah, just be the next collapse. Play, like, three heroes at TI and win it.
Yeah.
Not everyone has to be Yatoro playing 15 different heroes or whatever. Every team needs, like, a couple of each, you know? You need, like, staple picks that the whole team knows how to play around, and then you also need the guy that can kind of pick the perfect hero for the situation.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, I don't think Brewmaster is broken right now, right? I think his laning stage is super weak, and, like, if you try and play Brewmaster competitively, like, competitive teams will just shit on Brew in lane, and they're not really going to struggle against them. And, like, I've tried Brew in high MMR pubs against Arteezy and stuff, and I just, like, lose the lane so hard, and I'm like, oh, this is so frustrating. Like, I need to figure out a way, like, on how to enable this hero in lane, but it's so difficult to do. So, like, I don't think Brew itself is broken either, but, like, I'm getting good at it when I think it's going to get buffed more from here, right?
So yeah, I mean, he's definitely due for a buff, yeah.
Yeah, so then there's going to be, you know, some patch in the future that Brew gets buffed, and I'm like, all right, this is my patch now, baby!
Respect. Respect. What's your plans for the holidays coming up, Muggies?
I don't really have any plans. And, you know, probably going to just spend it with my mother and maybe That's my nice. Father. I don't know. My dad is like traveling 75% of the time nowadays.
Damn. Traveling that much during COVID. That's crazy. A lot of people aren't doing that.
I mean, it's not like he doesn't necessarily go like super far or whatever, but like he likes listening to a lot of like live music and stuff. So he's like kind of been getting back into that.
Okay. Wait, so he doesn't have to travel? He's just going?
He travels like maybe drives like 4 hours or something. So he's still like within state or, you know.
I see.
Not necessarily flying everywhere or whatever.
Dude, in Europe, if you drive for 4 hours, you're in like three countries over.
Yeah, I know. I've been there.
Yeah, it's really weird. It definitely takes some getting used to. I can just hop on a train to London in like 3 hours.
Yeah. But that's also like super cool because you can just like London was great when we were there for that Red Bull tournament, was it? I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah,
went to a lot of lands on runes that we shouldn't have gone to.
And it was all because 747 wanted to solo kill me as Alchemist.
Yep. Good times. We got like four lands off of that.
Just for the story, you know, we're about hitting the hour mark, but TLDR, we made it to the minor because the team at the time was ahead of us by a pretty massive lead, pretty unthrowable lead, and 747 and I don't really get along. And he attempted to solo kill me as Alchemist mid with like double the net worth of anyone else in the game when his entire team was like showing on a tower on the opposite side of the map. He did it twice and died both times in the final game of a best of three. And because like it was straight up like hate, like he was just trying to kill me. I'm pretty sure if it was any other carry player, he wouldn't have gone for the kill. And he tried to kill me and they ended up losing the game off of it. And then we qualified to the minor. And then because we beat them and qualified for the minor, we got invited to like three or four other lands and just lost all of them.
We literally did not win a single game. I think we won one at Red Bull. We won.
Yeah, we won because we were the first team to do the Spectre Alk strat. Because you could swap out heroes, so you'd be Alk and you'd rush Radiance, and then you'd swap it out for a Spectre. So you'd have like a 9-minute Radiance on Spectre. Yeah, that was nice. That was a good time. Very happy to. I actually thought of that. I think. Maybe. We also did the Broodmother abuse, and like I overplayed my hero and fed, and then every other team used the strategy and beat us with it.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh man.
We set the meta for that land.
We really did, and we managed to still get last. We straight up came up with every creative hero swap idea in the game. And we still lost miserably. But, you know, gotta put whatever you can on your resume. I'm pretty mentally tired today. I think you can tell. Had a long day of pubs. But, you know, pretty chillax episode of the podcast. No fancy outro this time around. Do you have any loving last words here for the people at home, monkeys?
Thank you for watching, everyone. We appreciate you.
That was so garbage.
What? Why?
No, it was actually pretty good. That was very nice and genuine, guys. Hearts in chat for our boy monkeys. We appreciate it. It's always nice spending time with you, buddy. Today's a weird day. I feel mentally.
We all have those days, man.
You know what I mean? Good. But once again, guys, check out Exclamation Point Podcast event if you are interested in being a part of the live AMA. It's like $12 for a ticket, and you get some other perks with it, too. It'll be taking place on the 29th. Be a lot of reminders in chat. It'll be you able to actually talk to us and stuff in a chat room. So I wish I sounded more excited about it. It is going to be a lot of fun, I think. Just right now, it's really hard to feign excitement.
It'll be great.
BSJ. It'll be fantabulistic. Expialidocious is tentatively how I like to think about it. But okay, buddy, until next time, see you next week. I will make sure we do it on Monday, and I'll find a lovely guest.
All right, sounds good. Have a good week.
See you, buddy.
Bye-bye.